are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Thursday edition of the program. We're going to dip into the mailbag. The mailbag is quite full. I was thinking about bringing a guest on for today, but there's so much stuff that you all want to talk about. And so I think we got to knock out some of these mailbag questions. Didn't get to enough of them on Tuesday with Nick. And because I think there's just like, you can feel the energy. It's palpable. I think the momentum for 49ers fans right now that are super excited to actually get a win last week against the Broncos while maintaining draft position is a rarity. It's a pretty amazing situation to be in for at least 1 week. So we're going to ride that wave. We're going to talk some draft. We're going to talk some free agency. We're going to talk current 49ers and break everything down that y'all want to talk about here on the Locked On 49ers mailbag. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify. We are everywhere, as are all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's the best place to get a hold of me and get involved with these mailbag segments. Or you can email the program, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. We've also got the Facebook and the Instagram pages going as well. You know, before we get into the mailbag, one thing that hit me today, which with all the Pro Bowl voting, and the 49ers have quite a few players that are primed to be Pro Bowlers. For a three-win team, it seems kind of odd how many good players the 49ers have, which I think is one of the indications that the 49ers aren't that far away. They need depth. They need the players they do have to continue growing in offensive or defensive schemes, whatever the side of the ball they play. But if you look at DeForest Buckner, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Richard Sherman, Joe Staley, there's a good chance any and all of those guys could be Pro Bowlers right there. And then you've got, I think a lot of people in Germany are voting for Mark Zacha as a Pro Bowl, and the 49ers are pumping him as a Pro Bowler. So, and there's numerous other guys, Mike McGlinchey and Matt Breida and some other players that they're trying to campaign for as Pro Bowlers. But I would say those five I mentioned have a really good chance of being a Pro Bowler. I can't remember the last three-win team that had five-plus Pro Bowlers potentially on the roster. So that's sort of an odd thing. And maybe I'm way off. Maybe that happens more often than I remember. And what happens is a lot of guys are alternates and end up playing too. And so you end up having 150 Pro Bowlers. By the time the game happens, the second and third alternates playing because nobody's healthy. Or the two best teams that are playing for the Super Bowl have a whole bunch of Pro Bowlers. So you've got to have a lot of replacements. I think it's a good sign for the 49ers that you still have, you know, there's years where you don't have anybody that you could even argue should be a Pro Bowler. And that's not the case right now with the 49ers. Let's kick off the mailbag with Anthony. And he sent an email a couple days ago, which is interesting. He brought up a name, Rashawn Gary. He said, everyone's got a hard-on for Bosa. His injuries concern me. I would actually go with Rashawn Gary. Guy is a freakazoid. Size, speed, talent. He can stiff arm and get under tackles, spin move, etc. Should the Empire be giving this guy some attention? And actually, on Wednesday, Todd McShay dropped a mock draft. And who did he have? Picking second overall with the Cardinals going first in his mock and Nick Bosa going to the Cardinals. He had Rashawn Gary going to the 49ers at two. Now, I will not argue that Rashawn Gary has a lot of traits and a lot of physical tools to work with. The reason I don't like Rashawn Gary for the 49ers, and he may well go. I mean, he's got a similar package to what Solomon Thomas did coming out of college with, you know, he's got the necessary burst. You see that. You see athleticism. He's probably going to work out well, but he's another big end, and he hasn't shown the ability to consistently get after the quarterback. If you watch his highlights, he looks amazing because he's got some wild plays, a spin move here and there. He's got some burst off the line of scrimmage, and he's obviously got size and strength and all of these tools, but when you watch him play in, play out, and you look at the production he's had, he's just not, I think he's another outside end player. I think he's sort of a tweener between an end and a tackle and a little bit small for a tackle. He's got great size, but, you know, he's a power end, I think. And I don't think, I wouldn't draft him number two overall. And I think he might get overdrafted because of his tools. I just don't think he's that good of a player right now, even though he has those wow moments when you watch him. And for the 49ers, and this kind of rolls into some other things that people wanted to talk about here on the mailbag. This is from RDC. How about talking about the possibilities for that possible second or third pick if first overall doesn't happen? And Yeah, that's that. It's something that I think 49ers fans have just been all about Bosa. And I disagree with Anthony. He says he kind of sounds like he thinks Bosa's overrated. And I get worried about the injury stuff. But and unless, I mean, maybe the injury lingers and he's not able to work out at the combine and he has a bad or he has bad workouts. I mean, that would be the reason why Nick Bosa could fall from number one for me, is just if the injuries are maybe more significant or he has terrible workouts, he might fall a little bit in the draft. And then maybe you're still looking at him at two or number three or maybe a little bit lower. But I doubt those things are going to happen. And that's why he left Ohio State early, is to make sure he got himself right. He's going to be as prepared as anybody for the combine, I think, and personal workouts. So Nick Bosa probably will dot the I when it comes to working out and looking great and being everything he needs to be a high draft pick. I don't like the production. If you just put on the Nick Bosa tape versus the Rashawn Gary tape, to me it's night and day. One guy's a baller and makes plays consistently, puts pressure on the opposing offense and the offensive tackle he's going against. And for Rashawn Gary, it's just not the case. But he does have the upside, and you know, some team might hit big on Rashawn Gary. I don't know, but there might be some other guys I would rather take over Gary if you're looking for an edge player. Casey says, if we do not end up with the first overall pick, is the move to trade back a few spots, maybe get Josh Allen and a few more picks? I would think that that would be option number one. So I would put options in order as one, Nick Bosa, two, trade down, and then three, you just have to evaluate the best guy. And there's a ton of guys that are right in there. It could be Cleveland Farrell by the time the draft comes. It could be Josh Allen, who I like a lot, and his stock has improved as much as anyone's from last year to this year, and he's got a chance to knock it out of the park or maybe look a little bit more pedestrian when he goes up against some solid talent at the Senior Bowl, because he got the invite. I think he's going to play in the Senior Bowl, which will be awesome to see if he dominates there. That'll help him out so much. And then again in workouts. And look, it's December. What you think, if go, this is always a fun thing to do. Go find whatever mock draft, say Todd McShay's mock draft from Wednesday. Take a snapshot of that and see how different things are from December to April. Like the draft season is so long and so crazy. There'll be players you've never heard of. Like, at this time in 2015? Is that when Jaquaski Tartt was drafted? Most people had no idea what a Jaquaski Tartt was, and he went pretty high in the second round. And there's just examples of that every year. So even Carson Wentz, not very many people were talking about Carson Wentz in October and a little bit more in November and a little bit more in December, but it was really, you know, the postseason process is when things really get amped up for players like that. Alex Smith wasn't thought of as maybe the number one overall pick, but he just started crossing off all the boxes. And all of a sudden now he's being talked about as the number one overall pick when everyone liked Aaron Rodgers in December. So those kind of things happen in the draft. Just remember that going forward, that you think you have an idea of what things are going to be. That's all going to get turned on its head. And even the night before the draft, what you think it's going to be, even turned on its head from there. The draft is the craziest mock draft you see will not be as crazy as the actual draft is. So that's why it's so fun, I think, a lot of times. Gosh, and right now, if you had, like, gun to my head, who am I drafting number two overall? If Bosa goes number one and you can't trade out of there, whew, that'd be hard. I really like Ja'Kai Polite. I like Josh Allen. Cleveland Farrell's a little bit more prototype as far as the pass rushing defensive end goes, with his length and long arms, and he knows how to use his body. Some of the other guys are a little bit more raw, a little bit more stand-up rusher types, which those guys tend to fall unless they're freakish beasts like Von Miller or Khalil Mack. So I don't know. That's really hard. Quinnen Williams would probably be the best player. And this is why it sucks. If you're a team and you draft, say, bad players or have too many players at a certain position and you can't just sit there and draft best player overall, you're sitting there at number two. Maybe you take a player who's not as good because you have already defensive tackles and you have big defensive ends. So you don't take the best player available, which would be Quinnen Williams in this case. And that's, you don't want to be in that place where you're forcing need, and then all you do is chase your own tail, and every year you're taking a worse player because you just keep forcing need, and you're never sitting there drafting the best player available. So I might still take Quinnen Williams, put him next to Buckner, like, who cares, because he would be the best player right there. There's another question that's really on that line of thinking, and I got to take a quick break here, and then we'll get to more mailbag. Sure, watching football is fun, but it's more entertaining when you have some action on the games. Guys, you've heard me talk about this for weeks, and some of you still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win. If you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on. College basketball, football, NBA, NHL, NFL, the 49ers, of course. We've got custom props, even esports. You name it. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. Sign up this week and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM. Not to mention that they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code LOCKEDON and get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Let's move on to Jeremy, who has a question. I teased it before the break. It's a very real possibility the 49ers don't pick number one overall. There's a chance that they do. I think it's a good chance, but there's also equally a chance that they're picking two or three. Beyond three, probably not likely, but the 49ers are going to be right there near the top. And so Jeremy asks, take the team position needs away, who are your top five best players in the upcoming draft? And look, it's December. I mentioned that before. You take a snapshot of somebody's mock draft right now and laugh at how insane it looks in April, because that's how much things can change. But just based off of tape, and I haven't watched everybody yet, but I've watched a good amount of all the top guys, and I still think Nick Bosa is number one. I think need meets value there. If you're number one for the 49ers, it just makes too much sense. I think Ed Oliver is right there in the top five. Quinnen Williams would probably be number two for me right now after Nick Bosa, then Ed Oliver. Cleveland Farrell, he's the number two edge guy, maybe. Ja'Kai Polite is there. I do like Josh Allen a lot. I don't think he's a top five guy. I don't think that's where he's going to end up, or even top 10, unless he blows up the combine and the workouts. And you just realize he has too much athletic ability to pass on at that point. But I don't, as a pure pass rusher, I think a lot of teams are going to look at him as either, you know, teams that run a 4-3 are going to be like, look, he can't play every down at end, but we don't value off-ball linebacker that high to take him this high. And then teams that run a 3-4, they might be like, okay, we love this guy because he can come off the edge and he can rush the quarterback and he can do things in coverage and he can set the edge against the run and he's a high-character guy. So maybe the 3-4 teams will really like Josh Allen, but then they might also be like, well, man, he has a lot of sacks, but he doesn't. It's going to be big, I think, at the Senior Bowl to see if he can win those one-on-ones and see what the technique looks like for him. Because I think a lot of times in college, you can run around guys because you're more athletic and you can win. But I don't think I've seen from Josh Allen, as good as he is, that he's going to win one-on-ones with NFL offensive tackles. I just haven't seen that. And again, I love Josh Allen. I just don't see top 10 in Josh Allen. And I don't think the NFL is either. But I could be totally wrong, and we'll see. The offseason is going to have a lot to do with it. One-on-ones at the Senior Bowl is going to be huge for Josh Allen, and he's got to work out well. Then we might have that top 10 conversation again. I just get the feeling right now that Josh Allen is going to be somebody that fans like more than NFL teams, similarly to what it was like for Harold Landry last year. And in NFL draft rooms, size wins. It's crazy. Go look for the guys who match up with length and size, and then have the athleticism to go along with it. Those are the guys going to go really high in the draft. Cleveland Farrell is going to be an interesting one because he's so boring, but he's so prototype for what NFL teams want. He's got all the size, and if he works out good enough, he's going to go super high, and I think he'll end up going maybe top five, depending on, you know, what teams are looking for there at the top of the draft, aside from the 49ers. But I would put safety Deontay Thompson, and look, this is the third year in a row. Jamal Adams, if you follow the Shadow 49ers, my Shadow 49ers pick at number three overall, which is crazy high for a safety, but I had Jamal Adams going at the pick that Solomon Thomas went because I thought he was too good against the run, too good against the pass. I thought he was a culture changer, like high character guy. He's that type of personality that would change a culture. That's the extra little bit of Jamal Adams that I really liked for the 49ers and a new regime coming in. Deontay Thompson out of Alabama right now is this year's top safety. I think he's a top 10 pick all day. And I think safety is a position traditionally that teams don't take high. But I think they might need to revalue that because of how much value a safety brings right now in the NFL. and how much pressure and how much is put on a safety's shoulder this in this league right now. The way the teams are throwing the ball, the way that you still have to be able to play the run and you have to cover and you have to have range and you have to be able to, like, we've seen all the miscommunications with the 49ers this season. You have to be a smart player too to play in a modern secondary with, you know, you're passing things off, you're facing ridiculously freak tight ends, but then you might have to come up against a run, you might have to cover a receiver, then you might have to switch on some weird bunch formation. So a lot is put on a safety's shoulders, and I think it's maybe an undervalued position in the NFL right now, which is one of the reasons why I think the 49ers would be insane to not go hard after Earl Thomas in the offseason. Maybe he's going to go to the Cowboys and that's it, because there's been a lot of talk and a lot of flirting going on with the Cowboys and Earl Thomas, who played at Texas in college, and so maybe he goes back to Texas and maybe that's a done deal. I don't know, but they still have to go hard after Earl Thomas because it's too important, and in this scheme particularly, they put a lot of stress on the linebackers and the safeties in coverage because they have to cover a lot of ground. So Deontay Thompson would definitely be one of my top five guys. I think Greedy Williams maybe is in there, and I don't have like a solid 1 through 5 right now, but I think most of the names I mentioned would be the names of the players that would be in consideration, let's say, if the 49ers were picking at number 5. And I didn't name any quarterbacks there. And that's the other thing, is like, okay, where are the 49ers going to get this big windfall in trades and this huge trade offer that they move down, get a bunch of picks? The quarterback has to be there, and I'm not sure if that quarterback is there in this draft. So the 49ers might have to stay, and they might have to pick. And after one, it gets a little bit more difficult. Maybe they can find a little bit of them. You know, they move from 2 to 3 in that 2017 draft when they moved down and got Solomon Thomas, and the Bears moved up for Trubisky. Maybe they can get a little something, but I don't see that big, like someone comes from 7 or 8 or 9 or 11 and offers multiple first round picks to move up to get their quarterback. It's just not that draft, I don't think, at that position. A lot of people are looking at edge. A lot of people are excited about edge rushers and adding those in the offseason, and I totally get it. Ferocious Gentleman says, first, love the pod. Thank you so much for being ferocious. You sound like a very nice gentleman. Second, how big is the Niners' future Leo now? With Pettis coming into his own lately, Steady Freddy being steady all year, and McGlinch being a stud in the trenches, and other solid rookie performance, grade our 2018 draft. So I've been super in like, yeah, you're right. The future Leo is the most important things, the most important piece that the 49ers have to add now. You got your quarterback in Garoppolo, hopefully, and we'll see that last bit of his development next year now. That was supposed to be this year, but I'm still a full believer in Jimmy Garoppolo. We saw the difference that he made. Look, you know, he didn't jump out of the starting gate this year on fire in the first couple of weeks before he got hurt, but it was painfully obvious the difference that Jimmy Garoppolo made in 2017 for those last 5 games, how much better the team looked, how much better everybody was. So Jimmy Garoppolo is a very good quarterback, and I think the 49ers are going to see the fruits of that in 2019 that they thought they might have hoped to see in 2018. But that Leo spot, that edge pass rusher, is going to be so important, and they need to add multiple. And actually, Ferocious Gentleman, let's go to MC, who says, how do you feel about the 49ers double dipping at edge rusher with their top 2 picks in the draft? Absolutely. If one of those Sams fall to the top of the first round, you get your strong side linebacker in the second round after Bosa, your Leo in round 1, absolutely. Give me that all day long. And there's going to be some other positions to look at, and so the board has to fall right for that to happen. But I would absolutely double dip if the right player is there. Let's say Josh Allen has that tumble down the draft boards like Harold Landry did last year. You scoop him up so fast at the top of the second round. I would be all about that. But the right players would have to be there. Maybe that second edge guy comes in the 3rd or 4th round too, and there could be some value there. But if it's in the second, then you shouldn't hesitate. But back to the ferocious one, grading this 2018 draft. The 2018 draft has been fantastic. Here's the thing. This is the one caveat with drafts, is you have to wait 3 years. And that's always been the rule. And there's a reason, because how did we feel about the 2017 draft last year at this time? And now the 2017 draft is like, oh my God, it was kind of brutal, except for now George Kittle looks like an all-pro tight end. But the 2018 draft looks amazing right now. Just calm down, wait 3 years, and then you can really fully evaluate all of these things. I mean, you have a pretty good idea right now, and I think the 49ers did a pretty awesome job, especially with I think the key right now with the 2018 draft is seeing how Dante Pettis has played the last few weeks. That helps to think, okay, look, you have a player who has a unique skill set, and he might not be for everybody, but man, he's going to be a starting wide receiver in Kyle Shanahan's offense, the way he can separate. I think he brings a nice, unique ability, and maybe you find someone who does some things that he doesn't do well, and that's your long-term starting wide receiving core. And so I like Dante Pettis there, and you could not find a better offensive tackle than Mike McGlinchey. Some people have said he's just been okay. It's hard for offensive tackles to really stand out. You're not going to, you know, offensive tackles aren't going to receive for 210 yards and a half. You're never going to get that recognition, you know, the fantasy football recognition. McGlinchey has been awesome. The 49ers, I think, hit that pick out of the park. The 49ers hit the third round pick out of the park with linebacker Fred Warner. The rest of the draft, there's a lot to be decided there, but the first three picks look pretty good. You're trying to get starters. If the 49ers found three starters in round 1, 2, 3, that's what you're hoping for from every draft. And then you're hoping your fourth through seventh rounders are contributors and special teamers. When you look at it through that lens, the 49ers had a fantastic 2018 draft. So hopefully they can build on that in 2019. Let's take one more real quick break here, and then I have more mailbag to dip into. Apologies, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody, but I have an emailer who's given props to a Facebooker, and so that's the one I'm going to get to next. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. So Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anyone who loves outdoors or just hates being cold. I know you have some people who meet that description on your holiday gift list. Heated jackets, socks, gloves, and even undergarments. Action Heat is available in a variety of men's and women's fashions. New styles and models just released for this winter season, starting at just $39.99. And of course, we've got a special offer for our listeners. Save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or just use the coupon code locked on. That's one word, locked on, at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. I'm going to jump back into the emails here with Rodney, who calls himself Rodimus here because he wants to differentiate himself from another Rodney that he heard on the mailbag. You know, Rodney, I'm anti-people giving themselves nicknames, but I'm going to let it pass this time. Rodimus, you are a frequent emailer, so I think you've earned it. We're going to go with it. Rodimus, thank you for the email. And Rodney wants to shout out Diana because he wholeheartedly agrees with her email that we read on Tuesday's show. He agrees with Diana, myself, Nick, in regards to defense, and maybe a little offensive line mixed in there. More three and outs is just as good as a turnover. Shanahan can provide points, even if it's 7 field goals per game. Just making a point, I do want touchdowns. Free agent Earl Thomas would be awesome. The cornerbacks would play so much better with so much more confidence. In my opinion, Thomas would create a positive ripple effect. Again, in my opinion. Thank you very much there, Rodney. And I agree with Diana, and I think her offseason plan was pretty much rock solid. Question, do you think Shanahan has a hard time with halftime adjustments, particularly on offense? Some of the games the Niners had halftime leads, maybe even fourth quarter leads. They could have lost the Lions and Broncos game if the defense didn't show up. I think it goes back and forth. I think Shanahan does a really good job during the week of maybe game planning for an opponent, and then things change at halftime, and you have to adjust, and then you have to readjust, and sometimes you have to adjust on the fly. I think the 49ers were playing a team that had a lot of talent in the Broncos. And the Broncos defense should have been playing a lot better than they did in the first half. And in the second half, they did play a lot better than they did in the first half. So I think that's part of it. And I think you need an offense and a defense that are working together. If your offense all of a sudden can't put some points on the board, you might need your defense to show up and continually give the ball back to you and get those three and outs. And on the other side of it, we've seen it with New Orleans Saints. We've seen it with the Chiefs. We've seen it with the Rams. Teams that score a lot, they give the other teams a lot of opportunities to score also. And the other teams also go into, oh, crap, we have to score mode and just start chucking it. So you have to be really good on defense. If your offense is really good, those things just go hand in hand. So there's a reason why the highest scoring offenses in the league also have defenses that give up a lot of points. And the thing that just has to happen at the end of the game is your offense and defense combined had to have more points than the other team's offense and defense combined. So in that regard, I would say yes and no. I haven't really noticed that Shanahan has been really bad at, say, second half versus first half or game planning like that. I would say maybe if you're looking at game plan wise or play call wise or just philosophy wise, I think Shanahan hasn't done a great job when his teams can't run the ball very well and he hasn't been great in the red zone. But I think he needs to have his full, again, there's no Garoppolo here. He needs to have his full talent at his disposal. And then I think it'll be a lot easier to make those judgments. And the same could be said about Robert Saleh and his defense once he gets that pass rush. And then we can really fully evaluate him, which is probably why everyone, at least Saleh and Shanahan and Lynch and all those guys, are going to be back next year. Let's see how it's supposed to look with the bullets they're supposed to have and then evaluate. Michael has an interesting question. He says, does the success of Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, and Jeff Wilson highlight a foolish move in overpaying Jerick McKinnon by this regime whose aggressiveness both in draft and free A on quote-unquote their guys has led to some costly misses? You know, that's interesting. I didn't like the McKinnon signing when I first saw it. I was like, wait a second. This is a backup running back who the team he was already on for 4 years didn't really care to let him go and treated him like a third down back. And so you're going to pay him $7.5 million a year, whatever it was. Like, the 49ers gave McKinnon a lot of money. And now, unfortunately, we didn't get to see how he was utilized. And I think maybe a running back's receiving ability could be more valuable than their running ability. So if he's that good of a receiver, maybe he's so much better and so much more valuable than those other guys you mentioned, then maybe the answer is no. But I get what you mean. Like, looking at all their guys, maybe they should get a pass for year one in free agency because they had such a gutted roster and they just had to bring in people that they knew they could trust and knew that they could count on to be, you know, starters for a little while. And so the Earl Mitchells and Pierre Garçon and Malcolm Smith, yeah, those weren't great contracts, and I understand the question, and right now they haven't gotten a lot of payoff for those contracts. So, yeah, I got to agree with you, Michael. Right now, those signings are not looking great. All right, a couple of Armstead questions to finish it off here, because Armstead's had a pretty good season, and he's had his healthiest season to date for the 49ers, his best graded season by PFF, I think his best season by most people who are onlookers and watch the 49ers and follow him closely, be like, yeah, Armstead's played pretty well. You know what he is at this point, and he's a power end, and I think he fits best as a 3-4 defensive end for teams that run that scheme, which the 49ers did when they drafted him and had a huge need at that position, which played into them taking him in the first round in the 2015 draft. And I think the big end in this current 49ers defensive scheme is pretty close to what a 3-4 defensive end usually would do in most defenses. It's a hybrid scheme. I think the strong side is sort of a 3-4 defense, and then the weak side is more of a 4-3 defense. That's the way it looks in the front seven for Robert Saleh's scheme right now. But people, there's multiple questions here. I'm not going to name everybody. It's funny how many questions I got about Armstead's trade value. Does he have trade value this coming offseason? And I don't know if he does, because he's going to be on his fifth-year option. He's going to make, like, I think $9 million. And I thought if the 49ers were going to trade Arik Armstead, they should have done it at the trade deadline, because he was still on his rookie deal, and he had the last year of his rookie deal, which is pretty cheap for the end of this season. And so I thought he would have had more value for a team trading for him, could decide what they want to do with him in the offseason. Now teams are going to have an entire free agent market that they can pay for guys. And so why would they trade draft picks for a player when they could sign a guy who could give them, you know, most of that value? And so I think he has less trade value this offseason than he did at the trade deadline. And to wrap it up, Travis says, can the 49ers fit Thomas, Buckner, Armstead, and a first-round Leo on the line? What do you think about Anthony Barr at Sam and Josh Gordon in free agency? Armstead has been playing well. He deserves a film session. Okay. Oh, maybe a film session for Armstead? I don't know. I was kind of wanted to skew younger with that and take a look at some of the rookies. Citizen 510 says, is Armstead a long-term piece on the Niners defense going forward? In terms of PFF grades, he's playing just as well as Buckner this season. Buckner 78.8 and Armstead 79.9, even though Buckner has more sacks, 9, compared to Armstead's 3. Okay, so addressing all that, first of all, the PFF grades, look, I like PFF, and I think they do a great job of grading, and it's more of a snapshot. I just don't think that that's indicative of what the value is and what they're asked to do and the impact that Buckner versus Armstead make, even though their grades are similar. And that's not a slight on Armstead, just Buckner's better and is asked to do more and does more and makes a bigger impact for the 49ers. But Armstead's been good, and it's definitely not a slight on Armstead. And as far as can they all fit on the line, Thomas, Buckner, Armstead, and a first-round Leo? Yeah, look, it doesn't matter what the other players do and how they file in behind your pass rusher. The 49ers got to get pass rushers. And so you get the pass rushers first, and then you look around the room and say, okay, now how does everybody else fit in behind the guys who can impact the opposing team's quarterback? Because that's what it's all about. And can those guys all fit? Yeah, they can fit just fine. In base, those guys could all be on the field and all be good run defenders. But in this league right now, fine pass rushers, period. When it comes to Anthony Barr, speaking of pass rushers, he's got 2 sacks in 2 years, and he's super athletic. I think he fits from a base defense, the profile exactly what the 49ers would want as a Sam linebacker. I don't know if it's because he hasn't been allowed to pass rush that much, and he doesn't have a ton of pass rush attempts in the last couple of years. And so I wonder if maybe there's more untapped potential there as a pass rusher, but I think he's going to make so much money that I don't know if that gamble is worth it. And I don't think the 49ers are going to pay top-end money for that position. I think the 49ers actually would prefer to continue to split that Sam linebacker role between a base player and a sub player, which basically the base player is the guy who can set the edge against the run and, you know, can run and chase running backs and can cover a little bit and can rush maybe a little bit. But mostly in sub, they would have that guy who's essentially another defensive end and a second Leo who gets after the quarterback. And I think it's just cheaper. And for right now, the 49ers have 2 separate players doing those 2 roles. But, and even though it's hard to find, it would be pretty awesome. And there are some guys in the draft. Maybe Anthony Barr could be that guy who is just an every down Sam who can stand up, get after the quarterback, and put his hand in the grass from a 3-point stance and rush the quarterback, can set the edge, can chase running backs around, can cover a little bit. And Barr's the type of athlete that could potentially do that. I just wonder why he hasn't been utilized and been productive as a pass rusher with the Vikings the last few years. All right, that's going to do it for me for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thank you so much for all the people who got involved. It's always awesome when I ask for questions and I just get an avalanche of people asking all this stuff that there's so many that I can't get to. So I'll try to get to some more as we go into next week, but always fun talking to you guys and getting those mailbag questions. And thanks for all the suggestions on who to break down for Film Friday tomorrow. I can tell you that Marcel Harris, rookie safety, is one of the players I'm going to be breaking down, and I'm going to leave the other one a mystery for now. But I'll be back right here tomorrow, Film Friday, on Locked On 49ers.